Okay, ladies, we're not at the end yet, but that's okay. My talk today is about an organisation called Days for Girls, and in your little packs you'll have one of these, which we put together for you just with a little bit of information and a little fridge magnet on there. Those are, if you want to support Days for Girls, you can buy extra ones of these, $10, which will sponsor a whole kit. And likewise, the little promise cards that we've given you, if you would like to get more of those for gifts, they're $12. I haven't got any cash to change money, so if you're keen on getting one, I'm really happy to invoice you if you'd like to take some away with you today. So we know that Jesus came for the least, the lost, and the last. And that's a saying that Christine Kane has often used, if anyone's familiar with her ministry, and she's also involved in sex trafficking and freeing women from that. And it's a pretty powerful kind of thought that as Christians, just like Amelia's been talking about, we have the power of God to help us in these endeavours, and it is our responsibility to show the love of God to those that need him. In 1 John 3 verse 17, there's a verse, and because I'm a kids ministry leader, I'll quote from the International Children's Bible, because I think it's a great version, actually. It says, "Suppose a believer is rich enough to have all that he needs. He sees his brother in Christ who is poor and doesn't have what he needs. What if the believer does not help the poor brother? The believer does not have God's love in his heart." That's pretty straight up. Pretty straight up. One of my favourite verses in the Bible is Micah 6 verse 8. "The Lord has told you what is good. He has told you what he wants from you. Do what is right to other people. Love being kind to others and live humbly, trusting your God." And I love that because it's about, you know, God's given us this planet and he's given us all the people in it that we should share his love in. Sometimes it's about being practical. Sometimes it's about boldly preaching the gospel, but sometimes it's about being practical. So Days for Girls for us is a ministry that we started when Ross and I were at the Vine Church. We got involved with Days for Girls as a kind of like a women's group project. So once a month, instead of doing our Bible study, we would do sewing for the Days for Girls kits. And it's kept going and blossomed and got bigger. And we're, I'll do some numbers a bit later, but Days for Girls is an international organisation that is working in a lot of different countries. It was started in America in 2008, and my apologies for those of you that have heard this talk, similar talk before. So it was started in 2008 by a lady called Celeste Mergens, who was working with an orphanage in Kenya. So she wasn't based at the orphanage, she was more like a consultant that was coming into the orphanage. She was working with a family foundations, and this orphanage was in Kenya. In the wake of historic post-election violence, the population of the orphanage had swelled from 400 children to 1,400 children in a very short space of time. And they were really struggling to feed all these kids. And that photo that you can see there behind me has about 50 children in that little room, all kind of layered upon layered and all kind of bunked in together. She was getting prepared one day to return to Nairobi, and she went to bed with just a really heavy heart about what was going on with this orphanage. And in the middle of the night, she woke up with this nagging question: what are girls doing for feminine hygiene? Trying to get an answer for that, she emailed the director of the orphanage. He replied straight away, "Nothing. They wait in their room." So Celeste learned that girls were sitting on a piece of cardboard in their room for several days each month, often going without food unless someone would bring it to them. This set in motion her first intervention, which was disposable pads. Fair enough kind of conclusion. But Celeste and her team quickly discovered a major issue with that. Without any place to dispose of the pads, this was neither a viable or a sustainable solution. They were starting to mount up beside the latrines. So it was time for plan B. Washable pads. So they've come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. They've started and been tweaked along the way. And the great thing about Days for Girls as an organisation is they listen to the people that they serve. And so we're up to 28 versions of this now, bearing in mind that this is the 10th anniversary. In October, Days for Girls celebrates its 10th birthday, which is hugely exciting. And in the month of October, we're wanting to distribute worldwide 100,000 kits, and they will keep us posted on where those are going. So they've changed the design along the way. So some of them didn't quite work well, they weren't quite absorbent enough, they didn't fit comfortably, they didn't work with the communities that they were in. There's certain colours that are no-goes in certain cultures. There's certain fabrics that kind of don't work in certain cultures. So they listened to that and they've changed the design of the kit. The next video will show you what's in a kit. And the kits, one of the examples is here. I can hand it round actually so you can see what it's like while the video's playing. All the components in the kit are very carefully thought out, and the fabrics that we use are very carefully thought out. We have to buy most of our fabric from America because our flannelette in New Zealand is really poor quality and wouldn't be very absorbent. And they have lots of cool colours and stuff overseas that we just can't get here. You'll notice on the liners they kind of have like a extra layer in the middle, and on the ends it's just one layer of flannelette, and that's designed so when it's folded into thirds the thinner ends tuck into the pocket, so you don't get lots of bulk in the pockets. So it's very kind of well crafted, really classily thought out design. So all around the world, women and girls are using these things. Cardboard, corn husks, shoe insoles, dried cow pats, rags, stones, grass, straw, newspaper, and cotton from mattresses. Essentially anything they can think of that will function to absorb blood, or they use nothing. We might think New Zealand's better off, but not really. These are headlines out of our papers. So girls and women in New Zealand, schoolgirls are missing out on school because they don't know, they haven't got enough money to buy the sanitary items that they need. You know, in July 2016, girls from low-income families are forced to use phone books, newspapers and rags. Like, that's New Zealand. That's not just overseas. We are way better off than a lot of other countries, but it's still a factor in New Zealand. So what we do is we've put together what we call a mini kit, which is two of the all of the liners, eight liners, go in each kit, and two of these, which we call PODS, which stands for Personal Objective Dignity, which I think is awesome. So girls can carry that around with them. So if you know anyone who is in this situation of needing something and not having access to anything, please send them my way, because I would hate for someone to be living in our community that is struggling with this when I've got these sitting in my garage that can be used for people who need them. Another example of how we've had to adapt things, this is called a transport bag, and it's been made out of the waterproof fabric that's inside the waterproof shields, and this is made for kits that go to Kenya. We're just about to send off 50 kits to Kenya in a bulk with another 300 kits from other groups around the country that are all going to Kenya. Kenya have banned plastic bags. Good on them. But that includes Ziploc bags. So we were kind of like, okay, what are we going to do? So Days for Girls International put out a little, I guess, mini competition. Okay, what can we do, ladies? And that's what they've come up with. An example of how God's creativity is just awesome. So all over the world, girls and women suffer isolation, indignity and shame. They risk infection and they lose the opportunity to be educated and are often put at risk of exploitation due to a simple lack of access to affordable feminine hygiene. And a DFG kit changes that. So the stories I've heard of are about women who, or girls who, are told that when they start menstruating, that if they go to a boy or a male teacher, he'll give them money for a kit if they do certain things for him or with him. And this is along the kind of, along a similar track to Hagar. You know, this is exploitation of girls and women for no other reason than just needing some supplies. And it's terrible to think that these girls, they grow up thinking that that's what's going to happen. So guess what? None of them want to be girls. None of them want to start their periods. They all hate the fact that they've, you know, become women. One thing that Days for Girls spends a lot of time doing is in the education process. A big part of the education package that goes with this Days for Girls kits is, you guys are awesome. Aren't we amazingly made? Isn't it cool that we are made special and that this is what happens? And we go right through all of the biology stuff of what happens, why you get a period, how baby's made, hand washing, sanitisation, avoiding sex trafficking, how to keep yourself safe, some self-defence and stuff. So each one of these kits lasts 3 to 4 years, and there have been some that have been known to last for longer than that, for 5 years. These kits get washed often in rivers with stones, and they kind of get pretty harshly washed, right? But they last really well. The standard of our kits is fairly high. All the stitching, the sewing has all got to be done really well. That's all part of our time. If we're going to make a kit that's going to change a girl's life, then we make it really well. And then we know that it's going to last her well. So she gets a kit. That gives a girl 180 days back of her education over 3 years, which is huge. So what they discovered was that these girls miss 5 days, 6 days maybe, a month, when they have their period. And then by the end of the year, they've missed so much school that they just drop out because they can't keep up anymore. So that's why this is called Days for Girls, because it's about giving girls back their education. So we work in 6 continents, not in Antarctica yet, but who knows. We serve in 125 countries. Just beginning of the year, we reached over 1 million girls with these kits and still counting, which is fantastic. There are now 580 and counting chapters and teams with 60,000 people just like you and I volunteering around the world, which is so cool. So we're a team, we're a Hamilton team. So we get inquiries from anyone wanting to join us in Hamilton, and some of the members of our team are part of our ladies group, Mum mostly, who does a huge amount of work for this. We've got other ladies who are part of like a local Rotary Club. They have sewing days. One of the groups is sewing today, and then they drop stuff into me and pick up the next lot. Sometimes I feel like my neighbours are probably wondering what the heck I'm distributing from my doorstep, because the cars turn up and drop off, pick up and go, generally. But I'm sure they understand. There's a GP across the road and he's familiar with what we're doing, so that's good. Some of these girls are isolated in small huts away from the rest of their families, sometimes attacked and killed by animals, or they don't die of cold. And for some cultures, that's a normal thing. It's normal when you get a period, you go to a little hut or something. The next little video clip will tell you a little bit more about that, called Chapati, and it's in Nepal, where Days for Girls has done a lot of work. So how big is this problem? In Kenya, 5 out of 10, so that's 50% of schoolgirls, don't have access to pads. In Iran, 15% of girls miss school every month because they lack pads. In Ethiopia, 56% of girls were absent from school specifically because they didn't have a sanitary pad. And in India, 23% of girls drop out of school because they lack access to toilets and sanitary pads. One of the things, these are all like properly official research projects that have come up with these statistics. One thing they've found is it's very well to give girls pads or kits or whatever, but a lot of these places don't have a toilet block. So if the girl wants to change at lunchtime, there's nowhere for her to do it. It's very difficult. So the good thing about our pads is that she could wear one all day and, if needed, put another layer in the top if she needs a little bit more absorbency without having to change. It's just a little bit easier. So what's happened? Well, in Kenya, the absentee rates dropped to 8%, and in India, dropped to 3%, which is fantastic. And there's a lot of taboos around the world about blood and menstruation and things like that. So some of these cultures, for that sort of change to be made, is pretty huge. So the impact of giving women and girls kits, it gives them education. And like I was saying before, it's more than just giving them a kit. There's an education package that has to go with it. You have to do a certificate to be able to distribute kits, and that's done deliberately because they'll last well if people are shown how to use them and how to wash them. And the biggest thing is they get their education back. It gives women dignity and value because we say to them, this is fantastic. If it wasn't for you getting a period, there'd be no people on the earth. That's great. That's awesome. God is amazing. The first Days for Girls distribution was with 500 young women in the slums near Kenya. The health education was an important part of the distribution right from the day one. The rates of sexual violence for female children is really high in Kenya. So the discussion also included a discussion around safety, self-worth, and avoiding victim blaming. Nicole, who's not her proper name, was one who came forward after the training. She said that if they wanted to leave their room or attend class during their periods, they had to agree to have relations with the director of their school, who would offer them funds for their hygiene products when they did. Her testimony was not alone. Many others confirmed her story. That's when the team who did this distribution realised how great the ramifications are for those that go without, and the power a simple solution can bring. They knew they had to help, and that's where the Days for Girls thing took off. And I talked, we had a conference with Celeste earlier in the year, and she's such a humble lady, and she probably had no clue that when she started doing this 10 years ago that it was now going to be this global organisation. I know she didn't have a clue. And she values every single person, every single one of those 60,000 volunteers that that puts effort into helping Days for Girls out. So, great statistic. For every year in secondary school that a girl can stay there, they can earn up to 25% more in their adulthood. And when 10% or more girls go to school, their country's GDP increases by 3%. That's massive. That's huge. So to give girls who often don't have a very high value for employment, to give them the opportunity to stay in school and to be doctors and to be what they want to be is really great. And one of the girls that works with Days for Girls, her name is Christina, and she was in the position of having to sell herself every month from the age of when she was 14 when Days for Girls first met her, and she was given a kit. She was so excited because she didn't have to do that anymore. And this young lady has now attended university. Days for Girls have a university of their own now in Kenya. She attended university, and now she runs 3 micro-enterprises of her own, businesses around, and encourage other girls to make their own kits, to purchase their kits. For some of these girls, they start with, the way the micro-enterprise works, they start with a pod, like I showed you, which has one liner and one shield in it. They start with that, and they often need to get loans from Days for Girls to purchase that. They cost $1.80 US. They get a loan, because they're not having to purchase disposable options, they pay the loan off in about 3 months, and then they buy another liner or another shield or whatever, and gradually they get their kit built up that way. Hand washing's massive. Those of us that are nurses know how important hand washing is, and for a lot of places around the world that's pretty difficult. So the other thing they do, Days for Girls do, is they have a tippy tap system, which is a contraption that's rigged up with a cake of soap on a piece of string. And so it's a place that girls can go with a bottle of water. It's a place that girls can go to and other people in their community can go to wash their hands before they eat or whatever. It just kind of helps the hygiene in the community. World Health Organization has 17 sustainable goals for development of countries, and Days for Girls addresses 10 of them, which is remarkable for a little old sanitary kit. So where did we come in? So we started in March 2016. We've sent 10 kits to Zambia, 10 kits around Hamilton, 75 kits to Thailand, 125 kits to Vanuatu, and we're just about to send 50 kits to Kenya. And yesterday I got another email with another request for 350 kits to go to Vanuatu with someone else, and we're going to do 100 of those kits. So there's plenty of need out there. We're also in the process of funding 300 kits in Tanzania to a Christian orphanage and supporting a local enterprise. So that situation was a little bit different. We got contacted by Jessie, who's part of a church in Napier. God knew that she needed kits and we needed to do something. So he hooked us up together, like he's good at doing. And they said, we're going to a mission trip in Tanzania and we really want to take some of these kits with us. And I'm like, okay, cool. About 300 kids in two different orphanages. Okay, we'll go with that. And I contacted the African director of Days for Girls. We have regional key leaders. Contacted her. Turned out there was actually an enterprise quite close to the orphanage. So if that happens, then we need to pay the enterprise to make the kits for us and not send kits into that area. You can appreciate if we did that, if we bowl on over there with 300 kits and distribute them right where their enterprise is, that would kill their business, and that's not what it's about. So it's kind of cool. The girls still get the kits at the orphanage, and we still get to be part of that process. And an enterprise gets to make 300 kits, which in Tanzania would be amazing. The amount of money that will bring them, it's about 3,000 New Zealand dollars, so it's significant for them. So that's pretty cool. Watch the space about that, because Jessie's going in the first few days of October, so any day now, and she's going to take lots of photos and come back to us. So I'm hoping we'll get some responses from that. So the ways you can help any organisation is obviously to donate money. At this church, you can give a donation to the church in an envelope, put it in the offering bag, and marked with Days for Girls on it. If you put your church giving number or your name on it, then June can keep a track of that and it can go towards your donation receipts at the end of the year. Or on the red page, there's a give a little page which we've set up. So you can go in there anytime you want to and give some money through the give a little page, and that's tax deductible as well. So that's just another way to do it. You can sew or help put the kits together. The request that I just got through for the kits to Vanuatu, they said, oh, we need 100 kits from you by 21st of November. I'm like, okay, I think we can do that. And then they sent me an email back 2 days ago saying, actually, we need them by the 21st of October. So I'm like, okay, all right, we're going to have to, like, work some miracles with that to get that done. The things that we need donated are things like face cloths and hotel-sized soap. So if you're ever travelling and you go to a motel unit or a hotel or whatever and they have little cakes of soap that you don't necessarily, often they'll have two. If you don't need both, then bring them back and chuck them my way and we'll put them to good use. We have to put small-sized soaps in each pack, not full-sized soaps, and we unwrap them as well because some of these places don't deal with rubbish well. One last video clip before I finish. The thing that's really cool about that is chaupati is a very deep, very historical practice. And regardless of how we feel about that, about being put in a cow shed and treated like that. That's normal for them. So we can't just bowl into a country and a culture and say, what you're doing is really wrong. We can't do that. So what Days for Girls have done is they've worked really hard with the Nepalese people, and they've been there for a number of years now, and they've said to them, what are the cool things about your traditions? Like, what do you do chapati for? And they found that there were some positive parts about it. And so Days for Girls have worked with them, and kind of now, as you saw in that video, now instead of having to stay in a cow shed, they get to stay in a room with a nice bed. So although they're still separated, that's a lot safer for them, and they're not likely to get bitten by snakes or dragged off by crocodiles or whatever like they used to. So just little changes like that is huge, and it means a lot. When we look at our involvement, we kind of look at this verse where Jesus says that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbour as well as yourself. And that's the Message translation. And I think as Christians, we can talk the talk, but sometimes we need to do the walk part. We need to actually get out there and do something practical. And prayer, obviously, passion, prayer, muscle, and intelligence. I think we need all those things together. This organisation is not set up as a Christian organisation, although Celeste does have some religious background, but there's a lot of Christians that are part of it, working all around the world and taking these kits into mission fields and using Days for Girls as a way to reach communities with both the gospel and with practical hands-on health information. So one verse just to close in Philippians 4 verse 8, and this is in the Message translation as well. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do your best by filling your mind and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise and not to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you heard and saw and realised. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. You know, chapati and the Nepalese people is an example of that. They looked at the best, not the worst, the beautiful parts of their tradition, not the ugly parts, the things to praise and really value, not to curse. And when you look at Jesus, he didn't demean people for their culture. He didn't treat people any different because they might not do things the same as the Jewish people did. But he showed love, and that's what we do. And that's what we do as Christians. Days for Girls is just a little part of that in the rest of all our work that we do.